You're listening to the audiobook, There's the Steeple, Here's the Church, by Greg Campbell, narrated by the author. Rethinking corporate life as believers and followers of Jesus, the Church. And now, the introduction. To introduce you to the content of this book, I feel I must first introduce you to me. Specifically, my journey over the past dozen years or so with a father whose love most certainly compels me. When I first began this journey in earnest, my heart was invigorated with the idea that God loved me, forgave me all I had done wrong, and was not only accessible, but even pursued me. I had known those things to be true in theory, but somewhere in my late teens, something clicked. I knew my God was real, and I could not get enough of Him. I was a student at the University of Buffalo in 1993 to 1994. I had been away for a year at Michigan State University, but after thinking it through with my parents, decided to stay home and save some money the following year. It wasn't a bad place, but I do believe I enjoyed my time at Michigan State a bit more. It was pretty cool to be on my own and begin making my own choices, being responsible for my life. I also met some fantastic people from Campus Crusade for Christ, and continued my journey of discovery with God. Perhaps that was even helped along by the fact that I was certainly in the minority, and any choices I made to live as God says we should would be against the flow, to be sure. I think overall it was good for me. It was during this second year of school, however, that God really caught me. Perhaps it was the fact that there were fewer distractions. Perhaps I was just more ready for Him after a couple years of growing deeper with Him. Whatever it was, I have vivid memories of an insatiable hunger for God, and very real encounters with Him during this short period of time. It's when I began writing songs, which we would later use in ways I couldn't yet imagine. It was during this time that I was baptized as an adult believer, along with my sister and my dad. It was also during this time that, after protracted, lively discussions with Father, that I decided to go into full-time ministry. Actually, at this point, I had no idea what that meant. My conversations with God were something like this. "I want to give you my entire life, God," I would say at His prompting in my spirit. "I want everything I do to help people know You the way I have gotten to know You." "Good. Go for it. Right now," was the reply. "Now? But I'm in school. I want to be a journalist." There was some silence, so I would usually fill the void. "Well, what should I do? Just go to Bible college where Jen is?" "Yes," was his reply. "But I don't want to be a preacher. Not at all. I don't want to dress up every week and give sermons and whatever else they do." I actually don't know what my specific aversion to the vocation was at that point, but I do recall passionately making my case that I did not want to be a preacher. Well, after months of conversations like that, and many others, I finally listened to God's gentle prompting and decided to pursue a lifetime of just connecting people with Jesus. I had no specific goals or direction, except that I decided to enroll at Cincinnati Bible College in the fall of 1994. True to my strong convictions, I was not pursuing, in the slightest, any sort of preaching career. Really, for my first year at the seminary, I pursued my studies. It really was a wonderful, in-depth delve into all things of God. And I wrote songs. I didn't have time to think about what sort of ministry I might do for God. It began to become a bit clearer that perhaps God could use my music to share His life in me with others. During my second year at school there, after leading a group of about 100 people in a few worship songs, a professor, and later a good friend, asked me if I had ever thought about campus ministry. So my career for God was taking shape. I figured it would involve music in some way, as I continued to inexplicably produce song after song after song, and now it seemed it would involve music and campus ministry. I did an internship with a campus group at nearby Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. There was no official campus minister, so we two interns and our professor friend were it. It was certainly a good experience, and it seemed like this might have been where God had been directing me now, these 2 or 3 years past. As graduation approached, plans were in motion for me and my internship partner to take over full-time responsibilities as the campus ministers with that group at Miami University. But through a series of other events, and again, lively and protracted discussions with God, I ended up heading back to New York to work with a small church in campus and young adult ministry. They were looking to reach out to the universities around them and to connect with college students and other young adults. It wasn't a preaching job, and it seemed to be a great opportunity. So I took it. I began in June of 1996, only a month after graduating with my bachelor's degree in biblical studies. I still had tons of passion for God. I knew Him more now than ever, and better yet, I was armed with a much stronger knowledge of the Bible and all sorts of things I could teach to other people. I could not have been more excited to be there, even though I was only being paid $100 a week, and there was no set time that my income from this new, mostly full-time position would increase. I was young. What did I care? Before my arrival, the church staff consisted of one. John was the preacher, the janitor, the secretary, and anything else that needed to be done. I joined the staff at the same time as my college roommate, Scott. He was hired to do the youth and worship ministry. So now, we were quite a team. Scott and I, fresh out of seminary, and John, the seasoned veteran. The building we met in was very, very small, and the office that we all shared matched proportionally. But that didn't matter. We would sit in that tiny office for hours just talking about life with God and how to help people discover and live in that every day. It was wonderful. It did not take long for me to notice that despite all that was wonderful, something was desperately wrong. Not at all with that church specifically. Actually, I think they were doing what they were doing quite well, and with the best of motives. It was more a general wrongness. I began to notice that numbers were very important. Many of the meetings that occurred monthly or even weekly consisted of reports of numbers. Attendance, budgets, and forecasts or goals dominated the discussion. There was a strange machinery in place that, frankly, seemed out of place to me. Many of our staff meetings, the hours of discussion in the tiny office, turned to these topics, and deeper into who we are and what we should be doing as the church. What I saw was not the church. The church is the body of Christ, the family of God, I thought. We're just getting caught up in numbers and meetings and five-year plans. I knew something was wrong, but at 22 years old, I was not completely able to put it into words. It just didn't feel right. Our hearts were in the right place, but we seemed overly interested in the quantifiable results and the programs that would best achieve those. The argument I put forth was that the church exists with or without those programs and activities. The response I got was, a large family needs to make business decisions, so the bigger we get, the more we would look like a business. And as far as the programs go, we have to do something together, don't we? A little more background. I grew up in the church. I have only fond memories of Sunday school and kids' church and youth group later on. Oh, and do you remember the children's sermon? Those were great, especially when they would use props. I also liked getting the little children's bulletin that you could color in and stuff. Fantastic! Church was a great part of my life. I loved every time we got to be there. I never wanted to miss a Sunday morning that I can recall. I even liked getting dressed up. I loved everything about church. Certainly my first taste of being in church leadership was interesting, to be sure, but I must emphasize to you, the listener, that I do not count my time there as a waste or in any way painful or traumatic. I did not agree with the general philosophy of ministry, and something was definitely not sitting right, so I did continue to speak my mind. But none of that was due to any sort of extraordinarily bad situation. I put my whole heart and being into what we did there, because I only wanted to connect people with the God I had come to know and love. As the years went on, God opened up more and more opportunities for us with our music, and we began to pursue them. I did shift to full-time worship minister with that same church, and through a series of events that were certainly not pleasant, my wife and I eventually decided to resign. Through another series of events, God moved us into full-time music ministry, where we traveled the country visiting all sorts of churches. Many denominations, many sizes, many flavors. The best part about this season of our life was seeing the diversity among the body in a completely different perspective. It was no longer as fragmented as it seemed from our previous vantage point. There were Jesus followers all over the country who called themselves by different names, but loved the same one who loves me. The church became a whole lot bigger. As we traveled, we saw firsthand many different configurations of the church, from your typical megachurch with perfect precision in everything they do, to a group of churches that met in homes throughout the week with no real centralized leadership. From a tiny group of people who met on Saturdays in a Presbyterian building, carrying out a tradition they had learned from what was once a cult, to very ornate, fancy buildings with reverent, organ-driven hymns, and traditions dating back hundreds of years. We were partakers of every sort of worship assembly you could imagine, even a few, shall we say, charismatic experiences. Those were certainly lively. So, here we are. It may look different from what I expected, but I am living my whole life with and for Jesus. He is with me in everything I do, everywhere I go. I do not necessarily get paid to help people connect with him, at least not always, but I still do see him using me in that way. It's funny how he put that desire in me so long ago, and how many forms the implementation of that has taken. I think perhaps the most important thing I have learned is that he is the one who determines when, where, and for how long. He leads his church. Over the past 5 years of our journey, we have discovered that the church is so much more than we let it be. It is not a denomination, or a worship style, or a carefully planned array of programs. Jesus did not intend for his bride to be so limited. We are the living body of Christ to the world, his hands and his feet. He says, "Let your light shine before men." And for so long, all we have done is let it shine inside of our nice buildings on Sunday mornings. This book is most certainly not meant to condemn. Please do not receive it that way. I do not have all the right answers. I am still learning and growing each day as I follow my Father. He is revealing himself to me every day, and I am sure will continue to through eternity. I share these thoughts from over a dozen years of thinking about and experiencing the reality of God in our lives. The time or the place are not really important, since he is here with us right now and always. Every bit of our lives is worship to our Father. When we are in Christ, we never cease to be part of the church. Not when we step out of the doors after a worship service, and not when we don't even enter the worship service. You will most likely be challenged by some of what you hear in this book. You may discover that some of what I have thought through resonates with some thoughts or feelings you've had, and if so, please test them to see if they are from God for you. If you think that what I'm sharing is not worth sharing at all, then please don't. Donate the book to your local thrift store and be on your way. It's not my intention to change anyone's mind. I am not out to start a revolution. I am grateful for the people who have shared their thoughts and their journey through books and websites before me, and I am thankful that I can do the same. We are in this together, and certainly each of us has a journey to share. I am grateful that you have chosen to read this book, and I do pray as I type these words that God will reveal his deep, deep love to you as you read them. I pray that our eyes will be opened to the fullness of life he has for us, and how we together as the church can realize that even more than we are now. I pray for wisdom and open ears to hear what our Father might be saying to you through what he has been saying to me. May you know him more, his grace, and his truth. And may our groom continue to reveal to us the passionate love he has for his bride, the church. You've been listening to There's the Steeple, Here's the Church, an audiobook by Greg Campbell. Subscribe to this podcast at iTunes or stop by the website gregshead.net/church. There you can download each chapter when it's available or subscribe in your favorite podcast reader. Thanks for listening, and we welcome your comments at gregshead.net/church. Nothing new under the sun. Lord, I want to know you.